awesome music is Hillbilly Swing by Kevin MacLeod.
Thank you so much for coming around and giving Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler a listen. I'm your host, Casey, and here you can tune into my own awesome adventures from different interesting areas around the state and other countries as well. Some of these in which you'll know, and others will most likely be entirely new to you. I'll also sometimes chat about fun facts, history, culture, and bizarre mythical beings or creatures around these areas. This week's Random Venture of an Indie Traveler episode is all about the most haunted nightclub in the United States, Bobby Mackey's Music World, and the very eerie Poplic Monster. Bobby Mackey's Music World is such an interesting place, and it's considered to be a portal to hell. There is so much interesting history to this place. It is incredible, and certain aspects make it a bit eerie as well, though it is very fascinating as a whole. I had never known a place in the U.S. to have as much history as this slaughterhouse turned speakeasy, turned casino, turned nightclub, turned honky-tonk. Wow, that's so much that this building has been through. I mean, just to think about all the different things that it's actually been in the past. Various murders have taken place here, along with occultists using the basement area to perform some pretty wild rituals. Even though various people from psychics to members of the clergy try to help whatever darkness is attached to the location to be free, that is one thing these spirits will not do, as it has been their home and will likely remain this way for many more years to come. Have you heard of the show Ghost Adventures? If you're into paranormal, chances are you've heard of it, and you either love it or hate it. I always found it interesting. Anyways, I first heard of Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky from this show. You see, this place has a very dark and sinister history. Some are said to be speculations, and others cold, hard facts. The Ghost Adventures crew actually experienced many things here. There's an area called the Wall of Faces, where you can make out many different faces if you are standing right in front of it or a little bit of a ways away. You can get some interesting faces that your tour guide can also tell you about. Anyways, when I was here, I remember seeing multiple faces in my personal experience, and it's just a really cool wall. I mean, you might see things that other people have never seen before, or maybe not. Maybe you'll see things that other people have seen. But either way, it's very interesting and it's fun to see how many faces you can find in the Wall of Faces. Anyways, the Ghost Adventure crew said that they saw a screaming face. In the slaughter room, they saw a shadowy figure near where the fridge is, and later they went back to see if they could get more action, and Zach, who is one of the main guys if you don't watch the show, he said that he started feeling dizzy, along with feeling a burning sensation, and he lifted his shirt on his back where he felt that, and he showed the camera that there were indeed scratch marks. They then consulted Bishop James Long, and he mentioned that provoking spirits should not necessarily be taken too lightly, and in a sense it is like playing with fire. So he explains that these three marks indicate the Trinity, and this scratch is actually demonic. Oh, very interesting. So seeing the famous and legendary Bobby Mackey's Music World is like being transported to another time. Or you can think about which time is it, because it has been so many different things in the past. It originally started off as a slaughterhouse in the time of the later 1800s. We went into what was the slaughterhouse area, and it was absolutely eerie and creepy. It is here in the basement of the building that contains the well in which remnants of the animals that had been slaughtered would be tossed into. Not only this, but in the 1890s, after the slaughterhouse was closed, it is said to have been used by Satanists as they performed many rituals here, where animals and also possibly humans had met their untimely end through the cult's sinister practices in sacrifice. When we were on our tour here, I absolutely felt like we were not alone. It felt like something was there watching us. In 1896, there was a news story that hit many headlines in the news, and it's a very sad tale. I'm gonna have my sister Tessa talk about it. She is from the Paranormal Prowlers podcast, and she used to have a radio show where she actually interviewed Bobby Mackey. And so, yeah, we'll have Tessa talk about poor Pearl next.
So, yeah, Pearl Bryan was the daughter of a very wealthy farmer. She was 5 months pregnant, and her boyfriend, Scott Jackson, talked her into getting an abortion, something that, of course, back then was very no-no. And so his friend, Alonzo Walling, he came along. Jackson performed the botched abortion himself. He first tried to induce an abortion by the chemicals and cocaine, things that were found in her system afterwards. It was botched, obviously, and after an hour of no success, they even tried to use like dental tools, and it was not a pretty thing. They murdered her. They sever her head, and her headless corpse was actually found just a few feet off of Alexandria Turnpike, which is less than 2 miles away from the abandoned slaughterhouse, which is now Bobby Mackey's. Her head to this day has never been found. Many believe it was thrown in the well in the basement. The men were familiar with the spot because they had actually performed satanic rituals there before. So they knew that spot very well. They were offered a life sentence if they would give up the location of poor Pearl's head, and they refused, straight up refused. They were hanged from the gallows behind the courthouse March 21st, 1897. And they were the last public hanging, Scott and Alonzo, in Campbell County.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting.
It's just sad that her head was never found, you know? I could only imagine how the family was losing her in such a brutal fashion.
Right.
And then, you know, not having that. So just a horrible way to go.
Yeah.
And she was against the abortion. She was. And so that was another bad thing. She was just trying to please her boyfriend. Mm. And obviously it went downhill very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Definitely. That's a very sad story about Pearl. Mm-hmm. And I know Bobby, he wrote a song about her, right?
He did. Yeah, it's a very good song. You guys should check it out. It's called Poor Pearl. And it kind of just listen to the words as you're listening to it. And yeah, he talks all about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alonzo is actually thought to haunt Bobby Mackey's music world. His apparition has been seen there, and he's not nice, as you can believe.
Right. Didn't seem like an extremely nice individual when he was alive, so.
Right.
Jeez. Wow, it's so crazy. Okay, and then after a while, then boom, the slaughterhouse crashed down and was demolished going into the early 1900s and sat untouched. Into the 1920s, it became a speakeasy during the Prohibition times. You have to get your alcohol somewhere, right?
Yeah, please.
For sure. Then, in 1933, it was taken over and turned into the Primrose, which was a casino. Here there was some mobster action going on, and once the owner, Buck, drew a gun on a mobster, letting him go in the end. But Buck was still charged, and then the place was closed once more. Once the place was reopened in the 1950s as the Latin Corridor, a dealer was Robert Randall. And fun fact, Bobby Mackey's name is Robert Randall Mackey. Coincidence? Actually, in the book Hell's Gate, which is by Douglas Hensley, he talks about how Bobby was first named Randy Mackey by his mom. At one day old, she decided to change it to Robert Randall Mackey. Speaking of his awesome mom, as of the time of this recording, his mother is a whopping 101 years old. Oh, and she's still going strong, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when we had the honor to actually hang out with Bobby Mackey and his beautiful wife, Denise, she was 99 and a half. Mm-hmm. At that point. And
right.
So that was pretty neat. And you look at pictures, he actually posts pictures on social media of her sometimes, and she looks like she's like in her 80s. She looks very healthy and active. And
wow.
I mean, she doesn't look like she's over 100 years old. It's amazing. It's like, what is she doing? What is she drinking?
Right. I know. I want a bit of that. Whatever she's got.
I know. Please.
The poor bloke from the past, Robert Randall, fell in love with the showgirl, Johanna. And so I'm going to have Tess talk about Johanna.
So Johanna was a gorgeous gal. She was actually a dance hall girl. Like Casey said, it was the Latin Quarter that her father owned. Her dad was the nightclub owner.
Hmm.
And it was from working there as a dance hall girl that she and Robert Randall ran into each other. He was also a performer. He would sing sometimes there. So they met, a romance started, blossomed, they fell in love, they became engaged. She actually became pregnant.
Hmm.
Well, she wanted to run off with him. She wanted to start a new life. You know, raise this family together. She was excited and over the moon, but her father found out about their plans, and he was a very jealous man. He was very mad, and he would have none of that. So he ended up sadly murdering Robert Randall. And when she found out what he had done, she was so upset that she actually poisoned her father and then killed herself.
Right.
And it was very, very sad, you know? And then Bobby actually wrote and sings a song called Johanna, and that, like Poor Pearl, it goes into the whole story of Johanna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very neat song. And for those of you who have listened to my podcast, Bobby Mackey's phenomenal. When I was there, you know, he's been on my radio show and we've talked, and I asked him, you know, I'm doing this podcast, I'd love to have your song on, do I have permission? And he was so sweet. He said, of course, you know, what do you need? And he even gave me songs to use or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so Johanna and Poor Pearl, I use all the time.
Yeah.
So every single time you hear my podcast, you're hearing Bobby Mackey. But Bobby Mackey, he's had that place since 1978. And in 1978, it was actually closed down because of several fatal shootings. It was a very loud nightclub and very dangerous at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were forced to close down. And then he bought it later that year. And he's been there ever since. And it's so sad. He's never missed a weekend until the pandemic when they were forced to shut down. But they were going strong since before we were both born, which is amazing.
Right. That is incredible. Yeah.
If you
really think about it. It's a long time, especially with the history of the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is really awesome. And
that
darn pandemic.
I know.
So Bobby Mackey, he's been in a big country music star for decades with some top hits such as Johanna and Pepsi Man. A fun bit for you awesome listeners is also that when the Ghost Adventure crew was there, pictures were taken of the band playing and Mackey singing Johanna. His silhouette, Bobby Mackey's that is, his silhouette was blurred while the others in the band were in focus. So, kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, for a very long time, people have believed Bobby Mackey's music world to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Several people have gone to investigate. They do tours there.
Right.
You know, they have caught phenomenal evidence, such as photographic evidence, EVPs, which is electronic voice phenomena, voices of the dead, who is believed to be of a woman, that being Johanna.
Right.
And if it's not Johanna, there have been EVPs that mention her name.
Yeah.
They have a staircase that they consider the staircase to nowhere. And they hear footsteps, phantom footsteps, always going on those stairs up and down. A rose scent perfume has been smelled many, many, many times. And that's actually in the song Johanna.
Mm.
And she always wore that nice scent. That was her favorite perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And today, people could still smell it there from time to time. A headless apparition has been seen there too. That, of course, people believe to be Pearl Brian.
Right. Yeah.
And yet, as I mentioned earlier, Alonzo, one of the murderers of Pearl, he's been seen there too. And
yeah,
I'm sure there's others as well. I mean, when we were there, I felt stuff. You know, I always have that spidey sense, that EVP ear. Investigating the paranormal for so many years is just kind of second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I definitely felt things there. How about you?
Yeah, so I definitely have. And when we were there and we were watching the band play, it was just so cool to see them, first of all. I mean, to see Bobby Mackey play live, that was just really awesome.
Right.
And we were watching the show, and I felt a tap on my right shoulder. So I turned around immediately. Like, as soon as I felt it, I turned around thinking, okay, who's behind me? And there was no one there. You know, I turned around to find absolutely no one standing behind me or no one, you know, around the corner. I just looked as far as I can see, and no one was even close to being behind me. And so, you know, it's just interesting. I turned so fast and no one was there.
I remember you telling me about that. Yeah, we were sitting there enjoying the songs and, you know, having a beer. And yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was something I wasn't really expecting, you know, just being there for a few hours. And I didn't think anything would really happen, but then there it did.
Right.
So, yeah. It is definitely an interesting thing. And yeah, speaking of other things that have happened there, you know, other club employees, they have had their own experiences, like lights turning on, doors unlocking, and there's a jukebox that was unplugged, and there was a song that started playing,
the anniversary waltz. The interesting thing about this, it gets even deeper though, is that the anniversary waltz wasn't even in the song selection in the jukebox, and yet there it was playing from the jukebox. So, wonder what the anniversary waltz had to do with something that happened in the past, you know?
Right, and I don't even know who sings that or what year it was written and, you know, made, but maybe it goes back to, like, the Latin Quarter or something, you know, where maybe it wasn't part of it at Bobby Mackey's, but maybe back in the day it was.
Right, because Johanna was a showgirl. I don't know, maybe it was one of the tunes that they would dance to. Yeah, pretty interesting though. Also, with the song, the Ghost Adventures, when they were there, they tried to reach Johanna by playing the song, and then later on, they actually caught a female crying on the audio.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And they have the spirit. It's probably Alonso, because there's a spirit there that actually attacks pregnant women.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
Right. And so it's got to be him or Pearl's boyfriend. So, you know, one of the two are there. You know, someone that was pregnant, she was pushed down the stairs there. And, you know, she was attacked several times and she never wanted to go back in there again because of her experience. And understandably enough. Yeah, so definitely interesting things that happen here.
Yeah, and I just have to say real quick that even if you're not into the paranormal, just to go to the ambience there, the atmosphere is such a neat place. Like, I really want to go back to Bobby Mackey's Music World at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby is very accommodating, so friendly, one of the nicest people I've had the pleasure of meeting.
Right.
Just hands down, he's just such a friendly soul. And it's so fun to sit there with a beverage in hand and just watch him sing his heart out. Really. Right.
It really is. There's no other experience like it. And he's been playing music for decades. So, you know, he's a legend in himself.
Oh, he is. He is. And so, you know, it's Bobby Mackey and his best damn band, I believe. And they do. They just sing. And, you know, they sing the favorites and different songs as well. And they're all his songs, you know.
Right.
Just really phenomenal. He's a very humble man, very happy man.
Yeah.
It's like when you meet him, it's like you feel like you've been friends for years.
Right.
Really. Now, granted, we had been talking on social media for a long time, but it was neat to actually finally get to meet him in person.
Right.
Just to show how nice of a guy he is, when I had my radio show, I messaged him just saying, hey, I'm a huge fan. I have a radio show. Would love to see if you want to be on at some point. And you know, sometimes I write famous people and sometimes they never even write back or even look at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few minutes later he said, yeah, I would love to.
Yeah.
And then he actually friended me on Facebook. And then I woke up the next morning to see that he found me on Twitter and friended me on Twitter. So, and then of course me and you got to spend some time alone with him in the VIP room.
Right.
And that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was really amazing. It was another unexpected thing that we got to do, and we got to chat with Bobby in between his sets, and that was really awesome.
Yeah. My only regret is that I didn't take a lot of pictures with him at the beginning because I thought we had more time, and all of a sudden somebody comes up, and they say something like, you're up or whatever, and he jumps up and runs out, and 2 seconds later, we open the door and look, and he's on the stage singing.
Yeah.
So that was hilarious. I was like, whoa, okay.
Right. That was great.
And unfortunately, we had several hours to drive that night, so it's not like we could have stayed at a hotel close by. So, you know, I knew that if we stayed, he would have, like, hung out with us even more after his singing. But, but it really neat place. Next time we go, we have to stay at a hotel so we could stay till it's all over. But good place to go to, guys, if you're in the Kentucky area or driving through, and it's like, you know, Wilder, Kentucky, Ohio is like right there. So Ohio folks too.
Right. Yeah. It's super close to that border there. So it's like minutes away. So definitely you all should check it out. And behind his honky tonk, there is an old train track that actually goes right through his hometown. And the river runs very close to it. So that's
the Licking River.
Yeah. The Licking River. So that's the river. They say that the well in the basement where they had all these, you know,
animal parts and everything and things that had been thrown in there, possibly Pearl's head.
Yeah.
They say that the blood from, you know, all of everything in the past there, that it was drained into the river. And so then with that, it might have created the gate to hell in the basement. Something kind of interesting. And then also there's the former caretaker, so Carl Lawson. And he was helping Bobby out, you know, when they first got in there and Carl was living upstairs.
They were good friends, really good friends.
Right, very good. And interestingly enough, Carl became possessed by something that was there. And he had to have an exorcism right there in the club upstairs where he was living. And the wall, as if by magic or some unseen force, it had caught fire as the exorcism was finishing up. The wall just automatically caught on fire. So that's a really interesting story about Carl. So
he has since passed away, unfortunately. Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Right, sadly. He lived through that, but after, beyond that, he had passed. Yeah, very sad.
You can actually find videos online, I think on YouTube probably, of his exorcism, and you could just see him. It's scary.
Definitely is, right? I think in some of the Ghost Adventure shows, maybe they talk about it or show it. Yeah. And Carl, he also found a shard of a skull that belonged to a human, and that was like in the area of the well. And so people are wondering, could that be part of Pearl's head, her skull?
Right.
It's sad. It's going to be something that people might never ever find out what happened to Pearl's head.
Right.
So, and like I said, there's the book Hell's Gate, which is written by Bobby Mackey's friend, Doug Hensley. So if you're curious to know more, like I am, then you'll absolutely love to check it out because it's a really cool read and I've got it.
And I think at Bobby Mackey's in the gift shop, they actually have that book. And I think, if I remember correctly, they're autographed copies.
Ah, nice.
Now, granted, this was 2 years ago when me and you went that I saw them there.
Right.
And I regret not getting one. But, yeah, I believe he does have them there, so.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I didn't know that they were actually autographed. That's awesome. And so, yeah, Bobby Mackey's Music World, it's such a fascinating place, and it has a very dark history, but now it's lighter, though definitely its past is still there in different forms. So if you dare, you should check it out, and possibly, maybe you'll have your own otherworldly experience. As Bobby's usually there, as Tazza was saying, on the weekends, so playing his awesome music. And I think now that COVID is kind of cooling down a little bit, it's opening up on the weekends again. So yeah, you should definitely go and check it out if you're near the Wilder, Kentucky area.
If anything, if you're wanting to go, maybe call ahead of time and see if it's happening there.
Right, absolutely. Ooh, that means it's mythological creature time. Roar! Oh, I should record you doing that. That should be my mythological creature sound.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, in the future, you'll hear that.
Yeah, you'll hear that.
Near Louisville, Kentucky, there is a very creepy creature. It has an interesting name, the Pope Lick Monster. Has it been known to lick popes?
Yeah, kind of. You know, there's a lot of lawsuits pending on this right now. But you know what? Some of the popes actually lick right back. So it's kind of like, okay, what's going on here?
Oh my.
Dirty, dirty popes.
Yeah, very interesting. Just kidding. Anyways. It looks similar to a minotaur creature. The half-human, half-goat Pope Lick Monster has been given its name. So in some speculations, there are many different legends. But it's been seen around the Pope Lick Creek that runs directly under the Pope Lick train trestle, which is considered private property. And for very good reason, as it's suggested you do not go anywhere near this place. Seriously. And I'm not joking.
People have died.
Yes, people have. And Tazza has some stories to share in a minute. But there's some mysterious inquiries about what it actually is, or was, and about the actual origins of the Pope Lick Monster. Some say it was mistreated and an angry circus freak that was wanting to get revenge on how it had been treated in the past. Or possibly it's a farmer that wanted satanic powers and traded his soul forever, turning into a half-man, half-goat creature. The trestle is also said to have a ghost train problem. Apparently, this creature uses a variety of methods to lead people to their untimely deaths, and it's absolutely terrifying. I wonder if this ghost train. The creature is said to have escaped from after derailing, so maybe it's that monster. But this monster can mimic voices and even hypnotize people to leap off the trestle. There have been so many stories, and there's one talking about how it leaps onto cars below with its bloody axe in hand, ready to take out anybody it sees. And I'm gonna have Tessa talk a little bit because she actually had an episode on her Paranormal Prowlers podcast about it. And she actually had an incident on her own, and she lived to tell the tale. So let's hear from Tessa.
I didn't really live to tell the tale. Now I'm the spirit of Tessa talking about it. So In 2016, I went to Louisville, where one of my friends lives, and we were going to go to Waverly Hills the next day to investigate overnight there, which I got a lot of stuff from. And the night before, though, we had time to do some exploring, and he's from Louisville, so he knows everything there. And he was like, you like this paranormal stuff, maybe we should go check out the Popelik Monster. And with me, if it's a private property, no. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'd rather talk to law enforcement, see who I need to talk to get in, whatever. So he's like, well, you know, we can just drive through, drive by there. And I'm like, okay, sure. So we're on our way there and pretty close to Louisville. And we're so close. And all of a sudden, this light, it was probably like a lifted diesel truck or something. These bright lights shine on us and starts chasing us. And we're taking these turns all quick and driving, trying to get out of there. And he's honking at us. And it almost sounded like the Jeepers Creepers. Like that creepy, loud, deafening boom of a horn.
Wow.
And it was so scary. We were just trying to go. So I don't know if it's people messing around, trying to scare people, getting too close or whatever. But we were very close in the area of Popelik. But it's something like Casey said, a lot of people have gone there and have died. Now, I don't know about a ghost train, but I know that every single day, several times a day and into the night, trains go through there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a very active trestle.
Mm-hmm.
It has a nickname, the Trestle of Death. It just 2 months before we were there, 2016, a guy and gal were going. They had Waverly Hill tickets in their hands, and they were going to go later that night, but had hours to wait around. And they went there, and the girl really wanted to go and check it out, and she ended up dying. She got killed by a train. And so a lot of deaths have occurred there, even in 2020, still happening. People go to investigate, and they say that people who have survived say that they did not hear or see the train until it was just, you know, just like 20 or so feet away. Then it was too late. Because I believe, if I remember correctly, it's around 90-ish feet below.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a decent drop.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, if you see like the movie Stand By Me, those kids, they're having to be very careful. They're, you know, it was like that, but even more perplexed. And so it's not like, oh, you could just hop, skip, or run off of this trestle. I don't remember how many feet, but hundreds of feet. So it's just kind of like, once you're on there, you're on there.
Right.
And it's hard to get off.
It's and just like a bridge pretty much, but it's just a train trestle.
But there's no way to
walking
go.
Path.
There's nowhere to go. And so it's very dangerous. So it's definitely don't go. I mean, we just wanted to go and stay in the car. And when you're just chased like that, it's terrifying.
Right.
It's very scary.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Jeez. Oh, so if you feel like you have extra time, I would suggest not going to this place. As you hear, there have been multiple incidents, even in recent years, just last year, where people have not come out from the other side after hoping to have a possibly fun little adventure. It did not turn out that way in the end. Let's leave it as a mystery and move onward.
There's many other places in Kentucky to go check out, for sure, that are a bit more safer, but thrilling, like Waverly Hills.
And Bobby Mackey's, haha.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't forget my boy Bobby.
Yeah, for sure. Have you been to Bobby Mackey's Music World or around the Popelik train trestle? Or do you have a great suggestion of an interesting place? Be sure to check next week and tune in for another awesome adventure around Waikiki Beach in Oahu, Hawaii. I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram, randomindietraveler, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcast, Deezer, Podcast Addict, and more. Thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you in the next one.